every day, no matter what the situation of life. I don't think that's always our norm, though. I think most of the time when things are going good and the gentle breezes are coming, we are like, oh, I can handle this all on my own. It's when we get to the storms of life that sometimes we turn to God and say, oh, I need you now. And it's sort of like, I've been here all along. And we need him every day. All right, well, we are going to turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 1. We're going to continue to look at the blessed life. The blessed life this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the text. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love. Thank you that you are with us every day. And Lord, that we really, that song so aptly says what our attitude should be every day. Lord, I need you. No matter what the circumstances of life, I need you. And Lord, thank you for such good songs which remind us of our need for you. And Lord, that as we sing them out, that we can be pronouncing to the rest of those around us our dependence on God. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to understand that need every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hopefully you were singing that with, as you sang that, hopefully you sang it with that truth in your mind that you need God on a daily basis. Well, let's go ahead and just read a few verses here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Let's read the whole thing again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Last week we looked at, again, at the problem of living our lives among sinners. We understand complete separation from the world is not possible, and it's not even what God wants from us. It is impossible to be salt and light if we become monks and we hide in some monastery someplace. Many groups try to separate themselves from the world in different ways. You see, when we lived in Alberta, there were the, oh, now I can't think of their names, Hutterites. Hutterites out there, and they lived on a colony. And they tried to separate themselves from the world by just living on their colony, and they pretty much just tried to stay to themselves. And so they tried to do it that way. There's many different Mennonite factions, but many of them, the idea has been to move to a place. They moved to Bolivia, they moved to Mexico, they moved all over the place. They moved way up to Lacrete in Alberta and started a community. They just tried to make communities that were separate from the world. You know, they want to move to a place where they can just have their own communities and be separated from the world in that way. And sometimes it does sound good, doesn't it, to just move to some place and be separated from all the influences of the world. You know, there are a lot of Christians, they retire and they move to some place down in Florida where it's gated and it's all a Christian community. And all they want to do is spend their whole life among all these other Christians. They just don't want to be salt and light. They don't want any of those influences. And I don't know if any of you live in one of those when you go to Florida or not. I don't know. I've never heard one way or another, but in some ways, we are to be salt and light. We can't completely, or we're not supposed to completely, separate ourselves from the world, because God wants us to be there for a witness. But as we talked about this last week, the last couple of weeks, we realized that, but we are to be separate to a point. John 17:15 says this, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So Jesus said, I don't want them out of the world, but keep them from evil. In 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11, it says this, I wrote unto you an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. So he's saying, you know, don't keep company with fornicators, but you can't completely take yourself completely out of the world. There, you've got to be amongst sinners. But now I have, he says, continued on in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Now, there in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, he's talking about there's people who call themselves a Christian, a brother. You're not supposed to keep company with some of those guys either. Notice what he says here. He says, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, sexual sin, or covetousness, always coveting other things more, always wants more, always wants what somebody else has, or an idolater, somebody who worships wrong, a railer. This is somebody, a railer is something that Christians don't always think about separating from a railer. Do you know what a railer is? He goes out and lays railroad tracks, right? No, a railer is somebody that's always harshly critical about other people. No, think about that. Somebody who's always critical. You know, you talk to them, they're always criticizing somebody at the church. They're always kind of harsh and critical. You're not supposed to hang around to that type of person. That's a railer. And there's not a really good word to just fill that in one word in the Bible. Even the newer translations kind of come up with a word that it's not like, because you kind of have to add in, it's harsh, critical, bitter type of complaining person. Don't hang around that person. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. So we are to live in the world, but not let the world influence our thinking or our actions. Live in the world. We are to live among sinners, but we make sure that we are striving to influence them, not the other way around. We don't want the world influencing us. According to 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, that also includes Christians who in some ways do not live according to the Word of God. There's people who claim to be Christians and we just need to avoid them. There's some way, you just go through that list. And you know, these lists in Scripture aren't all inclusive. They could be doing something else that's just as bad. But it gives an example. You know, somebody who's a drunk, you know, you just don't hang around those people. Somebody who's involved in sexual sins, you don't hang around that person. So, I'm sure that some who were here for the last two messages on verse 1, remember verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's some of you who are here for the last two messages where we talked about that and think, I'm doing a pretty good job at that. In a negative way, that applies to me. I don't do that. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, I don't stand in the way of sinners, and I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. If that truly describes your life, you may be on the road to God's blessings. Notice, you may be on the road to God's blessings if that describes your life. You might say, no, verse 1 doesn't describe me. I don't do those things. I believe I'm living mostly free from the influence of the world and the way of sinners. Praise the Lord if that's true of your life. However, there's more to the blessings of God than living by a list of do's and don'ts. There's more to the blessings of God than living by a list of do's and don'ts. Many mistakenly think that the blessings will be theirs if they just refrain from sins. If I can just keep myself from the list of bad sins like drinking, drugs, adultery, and such as that, God will bless me. But the passage doesn't just say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, so there's more to it than just not doing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. See, there's the things that you don't do, but it also involves the things you are supposed to be doing. He doesn't do these things, but he does this. Notice we are to delight in the law of the Lord. So instead of getting acquainted with sinners, the blessed man is getting acquainted with the Lord. Two different focuses in life. What is your focus in life? What is your focus personally? Not what does my family do, not what does my husband or wife do. Personally, what is your focus? Are you more getting acquainted with sinners, or are you more getting acquainted with the Lord? To delight in the law of the Lord is to have pleasure in the law of the Lord. I believe there are many who can say in general, I believe I keep myself from the sinners and the sins of the world. And in reality, that's what they base their Christian walk on. That I don't do these things. I don't do these things. Can you tell me another group of people that based their religious life on keeping a list of rules? Who's another group of religious people that based their religion? There's a lot, but in the scripture, who did Jesus always come up against that based their life on keeping a list of rules? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And how often did Jesus condemn them, or how often did he have conflict with them? Continually. So we can easily see that if we're basing our Christianity on keeping a list of do's and don'ts, we could be falling far short. And if that's what we're basing it on, we are probably missing, if we are truly a believer, we're missing the blessings of God. Falling far short of the blessings of God. To be among the blessed, there must be a delight in the Word of God. Let me ask you, for you, is the Word of God a drudgery? Personally, is the Word of God a drudgery? You read it at times, but there's no real delight. You get up and you spend maybe 10 or 15 minutes in a daily devotional, but that's really where it ends for the day. You read your daily devotional out of obligation or for whatever reason, because that's been your habit. And you spend your 10 or 15 minutes with the Lord, and then you go about the rest of your day, and you rarely, if ever, think of God throughout the day or what He might want or what He might desire in your life. To be among the blessed, there must be a delight in the Word of God. Now, you know, we want the Lord's desire for you is that you change, that you grow, that you become more Christ-like. Day after day, week after week, I don't care how old you are, if you're 16 or you're 60 or you're 120, God desires you to change continually. Did I leave anybody out? I don't think I left anybody out. If you're young, you're old, or you're Methuselah, God wants you to change continually. How many of you come to church services week after week, year after year, and you rarely think about the message after you leave? You come to church week after week, and you just don't even think about it. You're here, you hear the word proclaimed, and you leave, and it never crosses your mind again. Why are you even coming to church? There's no purpose in being here. I'm not trying to get you not to come, but there's no purpose in being here if you're not being changed. Because the Word of God is supposed to be changing us and conforming us and rooting out the sin in our life and rooting out those bad habits and rooting out the way you talk to your brothers or sisters, the way you act to your mom and dad, the way you talk to co-workers, the pride that's in your life. All those things are supposed to be changed. And I fear that many of us, we come to church continually and regularly, and we don't really believe that there's a need to change. We're here for whatever reason. I don't know why. And I'm not saying this is everybody, but I'm saying often we come to church. I've been there. You go to church and each week you're there and you just never think about it as soon as you leave. There's a difference between going to church and pleasing God. I think it describes a majority of people in churches today, that they go to church and it never changes their life, the message from the Word of God. There's no delight in hearing the Word and obeying its message. If you are among the blessed, if his delight is in the law of the Lord, that's not just reading at home, that's delighting in the Word of God in the services. You know, we become dull of hearing. We can all become guilty of being dull of hearing. Why do you get dull of hearing? If you hear somebody say something over and over and over and over and over, you just go like, shut up. Oh, sorry. We didn't say that word in our home. Sorry for the young kids here. You know, in your mind, you just get to the point where I've heard that over and over and over, and it just doesn't affect me anymore. It just doesn't change me anymore. It's like I've heard that. It's like it doesn't even apply to us. Turn to, really quickly, hold your finger here, but turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and we're going to look at verse 15 through 17. And this is Jesus talking to the Jews. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear, and not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And we're not going to go into that, but Jesus said the people, the Jewish people's heart, you know, most of the Jews, they knew the Bible inside and out. They went to the temple or they went to the synagogue and they heard the messages over and over again. But he says, your heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. I wonder if that describes many of us in the church today. Our heart is just dull of hearing. And every time we come to the message and to the church and we don't respond when God speaks to us, eventually God just stops speaking. Eventually God just stops speaking to you. How long has it been since you were here and God's Holy Spirit spoke to you and you saw something in your life and said, I need to change that. I need to work on that in my life. If you come week after week after week after week and there's no conviction, there's no desire to change, I would say question your salvation. Question your salvation if there's never any conviction in my life when the Word of God is proclaimed. What am I basing my salvation on? Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you had a daily quiet time in the Lord, with the Lord, and you were impressed with God's majesty? You're reading through your quiet time, he's like, God is such a great God. Then I need to worship him. Or you stop to praise him for his mercy and your grace in your life. How long has it been since you read through a passage that you've read multiple times in the past and God showed you something you've never seen? How long has it been since you were just reading your Bible and God shows you something and it's like, I never saw it that way before? A lot of times I'm so busy on Sunday afternoons thinking about the evening and thinking about different things that I'm always busy trying to make sure I'm ready for Sunday night. A couple of Sundays ago, I just decided I've got some time. And it was like, okay, I can go do entertain myself on the computer or something like that. And my thought was, no. You know, the best thing for me to do would just be to go and sit down and listen to a few chapters of the Bible. And I had to make a conscious choice. What am I going to do in this hour that I have of free time? And I decided, Lord, I'm going to make the right choice today. I don't always. Probably more often than not, I don't. But I decided and I listened through a portion of Genesis, and it was like, I'm going to preach it someday, so I'm not going to tell you what it is exactly. But I was like, Lord, I've never seen it, what this passage in this light. I've never seen as much. You know, when we read through the Old Testament, we're normally like this. Those guys are fools. How can they act like that? How can they do that? I would never act like that. I would never do that. You know, and as I read through this, I was listening to it, I was like so convicted by how much like that person I was. How in my life I sin in the same way. And you know, this is just truth here, folks. It's been a while since God has really opened up his word in that sense and just showed me something, boy, this is something that really grasped my heart. And I am normally in my Bible every morning. I spend at least an hour, try to, in reading my Bible and in prayer time in the morning. But you know, it can get to the point where you're just doing it. And you know why I think God showed me that day? It's because I said, Lord, I'm going to make a conscious choice. I could do other things today, but I want your blessing today. And I'm going to make a conscious choice when I have options to just spend more time with you, I'm going to take that option to spend more time with you today. And God says, I'm going to bless you for that. I'm going to show you something about yourself and something about me through that commitment of time. The reason so often our devotions are so dead and so cold is because we're doing it because it's drudgery to us And we only give God the minimum time required to make it feel like we're completing our task. We rarely go, and I'm not saying, this might not describe all of you, but how often do we make that choice to say, Lord, I have some extra time here, and I want to spend this time with you today. I want to take an extra hour today in the afternoon, and I just want to spend time in your word. I want you to teach me more. I want to know more about you. If you're reading and it's a drudgery, something is wrong. Now, let me state it this way, though, as well. If you're reading through the Bible and you've never really read through the Bible before and it seems to be a drudgery at first, keep reading. And keep asking God to show himself through the Word. Keep asking God to work. And if your desire is for God to change you, for God to work in your heart, for God to transform you, He will open His Word to you. His Holy Spirit will show you great and mighty things. The goal isn't just to read. The goal is to be changed. You might start out with the goal to read through your Bible in a year. As you think about that, realize that that goal is just a means to an end. The goal of reading through the Bible in a year is to know God more, and so that it will transform my life and change me. That said, some of you are behind because you haven't even started. Some of you are behind because you haven't even started trying to read through the Bible this year. Now, there might be some of you who have some other devotional plan and you're already working at it and it's working good for you. I'm not saying that you have to read through the Bible in a year, but if you have never read through the Bible in a year, you have no real good devotional plan where God is working in your heart. I don't know if there's any schedules out there or not still, but you need to get a schedule. Marilyn will find one for you if you don't have one and you need one. You need to read through the Bible this year. You're going to have to make up some time. And remember, the goal is not just reading. The goal is transformation. All of this preaching and singing and praying is worthless if people aren't being changed. The time you spend here on Sundays, if you are not growing because of the messages and the song, if it's not changing you and transforming you, what good is it? If you're not becoming more like Christ, there's something wrong. Either there's something wrong with the preaching or there's something wrong with your heart. Let me just say, a person who delights in the law of the Lord will want to be at all the services they can be. What keeps you from attending the services? To tell you the truth, it's normally something that you delight in more than the Word of God. And as long as there's things that you delight in more than the Word of God, you cannot have that blessing that God wants to give. You know, something, just a real quick note here. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And we kind of think of that as this, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is basically what David was delighting in. Genesis, Exodus. How many of you delight in Leviticus? Numbers. Deuteronomy. This is what he delighted in, the law of the Lord. How many of you think that you could just delight if that's all you had? You can. You could. Now, God is graciously giving us all this. We have so much more to delight in. But you know what that means? We have a lot more to learn. We have a lot more of God's goodness to learn and to know and to meditate on. I'm just going to skim through the rest of this because I don't want to come back to this another week. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm going to leave my notes behind. I'm just going to skim through the rest of this. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate. How often? Day and night. What a huge undertaking. Basically, the idea, some of you know about cows and how they have more than one stomach. I've never studied it all out, but, you know, they eat some grass and they swallow it and it goes to one stomach and they bring it back up. And then they chew on it some more and they swallow it and they bring it back up. And I don't know how many times they do that, 4 or 5 times. That's the idea of us meditating on the Word of God. We bring it in. We read it. We listen to it. And then throughout the day, we think about that. Well, how does that apply to my life? How does that apply to how I'm living today? What implications does that have for me? Am I following it right now? And that's meditating on the Word of God. We should be continually bringing it back up, day and night. And what will that do for us? What will that accomplish in our lives? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice this tree is planted. And this is like. This is a, what do you call that? It's like. Metaphor. Like, kind of like a metaphor. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the word rivers there can be used for canals or irrigation ditches. There's other words that were used for big rivers. So this can be applied to like a canal. So a canal is what? Purposely dug. Planted means somebody puts it there. Who would be the one putting the tree by the rivers of water when they obey and do what God wants them to do? God. God plants you when you follow His will, when you stay away from sinners, when you delight in His Word, He takes you and plants you right by the rivers of water. And, you know, here in Ohio, this really doesn't work that good. Because where do trees prosper here in Ohio? Everywhere, right? Anywhere one grows, it gets enough water pretty much. You can see trees everywhere. Fence rows, if you don't take out the fence row, trees pop up, right? They grow. They grow everywhere. Same thing in Michigan. They grow everywhere. Go to Arizona. Are there trees everywhere in Arizona? No. If you go to a desert place, where do you see trees? By rivers and by springs. Now, there's shrub brush out there, mesquite and that type of things, but there's only trees along the rivers in places where there's water. And that's where those trees thrive. And so the picture here is of Israel, a more arid country, and the trees are thriving because they've been planted right where they can get the most moisture, all the moisture they need. It's kind of like when we were in Arizona for a summer, they had a great well. And they had alfalfa on the property when we worked at this place where they worked with the Apache Indians there. And they had alfalfa on the property, and they had a well so good that they could just flood it every day. They got 7 or 8 cuttings of alfalfa. How many do we get here? 3 or 4? In Michigan, we only got 3. I know we only got 3 in Michigan, so you go a couple hours south, you might get 4. Down there, they got 7. Why? Because there was continual water and continual heat, and it thrived. And even in an arid land, you would think you'd go drive through there in Arizona, and it's just desert. But in this small little patch, this alfalfa is thriving because of the water. And God says, I can plant you someplace where you will thrive spiritually if you delight in my word. He wants to plant each one of you there. He wants to give everybody here those blessings. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Season by season, you will bring forth fruit. You wonder, why am I not bearing any fruit? Just a thing here. A tree's fruit, is it for the tree or is it for others? It's for others. Trees bless others with their fruit. So the fruit you're going to produce is going to be a blessing to other people, not to you. I mean, it does bless when you can do things for other people, but the fruit here is something that's blessing other people. In other words, your fruit means you're going to be blessing other people. His leaf also shall not wither. How many of you have driven down the road and it's toward the end of summer, all the trees are still green, but there's one tree whose leaves are already turning brown or dying. And what do you think of that tree? That tree's in trouble. That tree's dying. There's something affecting that tree negatively because its leaves are already withering. In other words, God's going to keep you from withering before the time. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he does will prosper that is within the realm of God's plan and his delight in the law of the Lord. This isn't prosperity gospel. A lot of people want to tell you, you just follow the Lord and you're going to have every good thing. That's not what this is saying. The fruitful activities that you have will prosper. Some, you know, there are rich people out there that God is not blessing. Just because somebody has a lot of money does not mean God's blessing them, no matter whether they call themselves a Christian or not. Let me ask you a question. Was it God's blessing upon former President Trump's life that he was rich? No. He's just a smart businessman. What about George Soros? It's not God's blessing on his life that he's rich. Evil, wicked man. What about the founder of Facebook? Is it God's blessing upon him that he's rich? No. So many times people want to look at that prosperous and think, okay, as long as I do God's will, he's going to bless me. I'm going to have all the things of this world. What are we not to love? We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is the world. And the world pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are the blessings of God necessarily... I'm not saying God won't bless somebody somewhat financially. But if we look at those blessings as worldly things, God says not to love the world. All those things that are of the world are not of the Father. So we don't want to get caught into the prosperity gospel and say, see, whatever I do, God's going to prosper and I'm going to be wealthy. No, God's going to prosper you spiritually. And he may choose to prosper you wealth-wise. But just because somebody's a Christian and they have a lot of money doesn't mean God is blessing them. He just could be a good businessman. Just like President Trump's a good businessman. Wealth does not necessarily mean God's blessing. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So God prospers one, but the ungodly are not so. They're not prospered. But there's plenty of ungodly that are prospering financially, right? So that tells us it's not a picture of financial gain. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You all know what chaff is. You're all from farming areas. You know the chaff is what comes off the seed, and it's the fine little husk there. In today's farming, it's more than that because it's all that stuff that comes out of the back of the combine. But chaff, really, when they were threshing the grain, they were taking like a basket and casting it up in, and that little fine husk would blow away. And then it would fall back down. And they kept doing that in an area, and all that chaff would blow away. The ungodly are like that chaff. Is chaff good or is it worthless? It's worthless. The ungodly are worthless. They're going to blow away someday. All those people who have withstood God are going to just be gone someday. They're going to be judged. They're going to be burnt up. But how many of us, how many people, how many Christians live their lives by ungodly people? They think, you know, you have sports stars. LeBron James has been, I don't follow basketball anymore. LeBron James has been in the news a lot for criticizing different people. LeBron James has a big following. A lot of people like him because he's some big superstar. If LeBron James doesn't accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, what is he? Chaff. And he's going to be burnt up and blow away someday. President Trump, if he doesn't accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, he might be rich as can be, but he's going to blow away someday. All of these people that are big names, they're all going to blow away, no matter who it is. But, you know, we like to look at the big names, but you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a big name or if you're the drunk on Skid Row. If you're chaff, you're chaff. And in the end, God will look at them both the same. Their lives will have been for nothing. They will spend eternity in hell. They were like the chaff which the wind drives away. You never see it again. And you know where this blessing really comes down to? What the blessing really comes down to? Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They have no standing. You see, in verse 1, the ungodly, where are they standing? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. They're standing in the way of sinners. But when it comes to the judgment, therefore, verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of the righteous. They may be standing in a certain position here, but when it comes to judgment in the future, they will have no standing before the Lord. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Complete opposite of verse number 1. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of the ones that can be considered the righteous? Does negatively, are you not number 1? Verse number 1. But I think many of us stand where we'd say we're not in verse number 1, but we can't say we're verse number 2 either. Where does that put you? Where does that put you if you can't say I delight in the law of the Lord? I think it puts you in a questionable position. Let me put it this way. Some of you have heard the message today, and you say, yeah, I don't live among the ungodly, but I'm not where I should be in verse number 2. Okay. I admit it. Let's move on. That's where some of you are right now. Let's move on. I really don't care. Some of you would say, yeah, I'm not really in verse number one. I might be a little bit in verse number one. That might describe some of my life. And verse number two really doesn't describe me either. But boy, I really want to be there. I really have a desire to be there. I fail all the time, but I really want to be where I delight in the law of the Lord. If you're not there where I just want to spend more time with God, if you're just in that, I do my 15 minutes and then that's enough, that's a scary place to be, I think. Because God, He wants to change you. I didn't plan on this message being quite as hard to preach as it's become. My purpose isn't to make you feel bad. My purpose isn't to try and tear you down. But my purpose is that we as Christians see that we need to grow. And we can't just live in verse number one and believe that we're okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you truly want the blessings of God on your life? And what are you willing to do about it? Do you truly want God's blessings on your life? And what are you willing to do about it? For some, what you're going to do about it is, I'm way past. I've been trying to get out at 12, but for some, what you're willing to do about it is walk out the door and never think about it again. For others, I think this is a time where you really need to consider, what's my standing before God? Lord, I thank you for this morning time, and I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to consider where we are at spiritually. I pray that you would help those, Lord, there are those here that are convicted and they want to change. And Lord, we are all sinful and we all have a struggle with our flesh. I pray that you would help them to overcome their flesh and make some right decisions and start saying, instead of going and doing this today, I'm going to spend some time in God's Word. I'm going to start making right choices and ask God to bless those choices so I can become one of the blessed. I ask, Lord, that you'd help each and every person here today make some right choices in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.